Oh, I want to thank everyone who's been praying for me. How's the sound? Is it okay?
Good.
Thank you for praying for my health, for my back, and I received a shot in the back last week, and it seems to be helping a little bit, and so I'm hoping it's going to help a lot of bit, but it takes some time for it to take effect. So I appreciate your prayers that my back will get better. And thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody who's so patient with me. Your patience is much appreciated. And I too feel the love of Christ in this body, the love that we shower on each other, and especially that's been showered on me. I'm just an unworthy recipient of a lot of love and grace, and so I thank you so much. So one thing I can, what's that? Thank you, Robert. One thing I can say honestly is that I pray for almost every one of you regularly, and so if I'm eventually too crippled up to preach, I'll still be praying. Amen? And so sometimes I think that's what God is doing in my life. He's limiting my physical ability, so I will spend a lot of time in prayer, and I do. So, and we're going to be talking about prayer today because the scripture in Colossians talks about prayer. So we're coming to the end of the book of Colossians. The practical application of the theological truths that we've learned. The first two chapters in Colossians are primarily doctrinal and theological. And the second two chapters are primarily practical and relational. And I just used a very important word, relational. The Word of God is applied in our lives primarily through our relationships with others. And I'm going to show you that in just right now. Remember all the one another scriptures in Colossians. Love one another. Serve one another. Exhort one another. Forgive one another. Put up with one another. Have you noticed that one another is a relational term? It's like it takes two people to one another. Right? It takes two people to one another. Forgiving, loving, teaching, relational. There's meant to be myriads of relational, loving relational relationships in the church, right? And I think that's a reason why many people don't like church. It's because you're forced into relationship. And some people don't want to, it's too uncomfortable to open up. It's too uncomfortable to hear about other people's prayer requests or needs. So I think a lot of people avoid church because they want to avoid relationships. But God is the God of relationship, amen? He made us to be relational people. So the one another's are an example of relational. Then last week, we saw specific areas of relationship that are transformed by the gospel. The relationships of husband and wife, right? Ernie did a great job of presenting these relationships that are transformed by the gospel. Husband and wife, children and parents, employees and bosses. It sure looks like our glorious God is interest in relationships, doesn't it? Isn't he? And I got to say, why did he create us? Why did he go to all the trouble? Although it's not trouble for him, but why did he go to all the trouble of making creatures that he knew were going to sin against him and giving, well, why? Because he wants relationship, right? He wants relationship with people. He, out of his great love, he offers eternal relationship. There is this eternal relationship. This is really special. So if you don't get anything else, get this. There is eternal relationship and fellowship within the Trinity. The three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one in essence, three in persons. And these three have enjoyed intimate fellowship for all eternity. There's love and fellowship and relationship within the Godhead. God didn't need us for relationship. He has relationship within himself. He, out of the overflow of his love, he wants us to be taking part in this eternal loving relationship. It's so beautiful. Wow. There's a relationship of Father to the Heavenly Father to the Son, Son to the Father, Father to the Spirit, Spirit to the Father, Son to the Spirit, Spirit to the Son. In the glorious mystery of our triune God, there is perfect living relationship, perfect loving relationship. Isn't that great? You like that? I like that. And out of his great eternal love, the Lord God offers sinners like you and me the opportunity to enter into an eternal relationship with him. Hallelujah. Wow. So we come to the foundational relationship in our lives, the relationship that Jesus Christ died to provide. The relationship of redeemed people with the God of the universe. That is heavy. So we just have five verses today, but I pray that these verses will have a lasting impact on our fellowship with the Lord. So let's read Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, and then we'll pray. Colossians 4, 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Verse 3. Meanwhile, praying for us, also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest, make it plain, make it clear as I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for inviting us into this eternal relationship with you. And thank you that you give us the opportunity to make that same offer to people that we know, to neighbors, to friends, to fellow workers, to acquaintances. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying to open the door of eternal relationship with God. And thank you, Lord, that you call us to enjoy this relationship with you now and for all eternity. So I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage our hearts today, that we would draw near to you and be blessed in our relationship with the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, continue earnestly in prayer. Let's stop there for just a sec. We can just read past that real fast. I don't want to read past it real fast. Continue earnestly in prayer. The Greek word that's translated continue earnestly is a strong word. It means to be constantly diligent, to persevere in prayer, to be totally devoted to prayer. Some translations say, devote yourself to prayer. And prayer is a kind of a general word that means, it really encompasses our relationship with the Lord. And before I close this message, I'm going to give you seven aspects of prayer to aid you in your prayer life. So be devoted totally. Be committed totally to your prayer relationship with the Lord. Does that sound like a strong exhortation? Commit, be committed to. I'm going to say something that not everybody's going to agree with, but that's all right. We can agree to disagree. I believe that you can measure your devotion to the Lord by your devotion to prayer. Because that is your relationship. Prayer and all the aspects of prayer are the relationship that we have with the living God. He speaks to us through His Word and His Spirit, and we speak to Him in a million different ways, through praise, through prayer, through confession, and it's your prayer life that reflects your devotion to Christ. So it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. What's vigilance? Is everybody okay? Yep. I see some furrowed brows. Vigilant means to be awake, to be alert, to be on your toes while you're on your knees, right? Be on your toes while you're on your knees. It means that we should be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. In other words, we look for the answers so we can give thanks. We don't just pray our prayers and forget about it. We are looking constantly for God's answers. And we thank Him even in advance. Even when we haven't seen the answer yet, we thank Him because He's going to answer, right? He is the God who answers prayer. So, be vigilant, be alert, be watchful, and give thanks in anticipation of God's answers, and give thanks when those answers come. Amen? Is prayer boring? It can be, if you don't realize who you're talking to. What's wrong with this statement? I'm just too busy to spend any time in prayer. You're busy with the things that are important to you, right? You spend time at things that are important to you. If prayer is important to you, if your relationship to Christ is important to you, you will make time to spend with your Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's kind of like the poor wife who was sitting across the table from her husband, and he's reading the paper, and she says, "I just don't feel like you love me anymore." He puts down the paper and says, "I told you I loved you the day we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know." Communication, right? If you love someone, you communicate with them. If you're committed to someone, you communicate with them. If you're committed to the Lord, you... I see some wives smiling. Oh, boy. Okay. You can hash that out at home, right? Being vigilant with thanksgiving. Okay. So, prayer is not boring if you realize who you're talking to, who you're spending time with, and what he's done for you. Amen? If you really grasp what Christ has done for you, you will want to be in his presence. You will want to spend time with him. Okay. All right. Now, verse 3 says, "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains." So Paul says, I want you to continue earnestly in prayer. And one of the things I want you to pray about is me. I want you to pray for me. Pray that I'll have opportunities to preach the gospel. Paul believed in prayer. In many of his letters, at the beginning, he says, I love to pray for you guys. And at the end, he says, now you pray for me. Paul was committed to prayer. And he said that, I want you to pray for me that God would open the door for the word. He was in prison when he wrote this letter, right? And so he's saying, I don't have freedom to go out of the prison, but people have freedom to come see me. So I pray that I'd have opportunity to speak the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that God would open a door for the word. That's the good news of Christ. The mystery that was hidden in the ages past, but has now been revealed in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want that opportunity. Even though I'm in prison, I want to keep telling people about Jesus. Amen? All right. Verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, I want to be clear in my presentation of the gospel. I want to make it plain and clear. So Paul is praying not only for opportunity, but also for the right words and the right attitude to share the gospel. Paul desired open doors and the ability to make the message plain or clear. And he made these requests. As he made these requests, he evidently thought of the opportunities that the Colossians would have to share Christ. We talked about this in Sunday school, how we are to be a witness, a servant, and a worshiper. We're supposed to be servants to one another, witnesses of Christ, and worshipers of the living God, right? So, he said, I want to make it clear. And then he thought, well, you guys got to make it clear too. So look at verse 5. This is really cool. Walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time. So he's saying, you need wisdom as well. You need the ability to speak the word clearly. Amen? towards those who are outside, that's unbelievers, all of our relationships with unbelievers, we should walk in wisdom. What does it mean to walk in wisdom? It means to be wise. It means that our speech and our attitudes ought to be reflecting good stuff. We should not be browbeating unbelievers. We should not be negative towards unbelievers. We should not be judgmental towards unbelievers. We should be walking in wisdom in our interactions with them, because we want to win them to Christ, right? Unless you want to drive people away from Christ. I hope that isn't your attitude. We want to draw people to Christ. Let your speech, verse 6, be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt makes meals more better, right? Salt brings out the flavor in things. Our speech ought to bring flavor and good. So it ought to attract the appetite of the unbelievers, right? Listen to this. This is great. This is a description of what it means to speak with grace, seasoned with salt. To speak what is spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimentary, gentle, truthful, loving, and thoughtful. Is that how you interact with people? To speak with grace is to speak what is spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, gentle, truthful, loving, and thoughtful. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Always be ready to give an answer to those who ask you with meekness and fear. One translation says with gentleness and respect. I think people can sense when you don't respect them, when you diss them, as we used to say, disrespect them. We have to give respect to all people as we share the love of Christ, right? It's interesting that the witness follows prayer in this section. Paul first exhorts them to pray, and then he says, "I want you to be a witness." I think there's a correlation there. If you have a fresh, what did I write? If your relationship with Christ is fresh, alive, sincere, and diligent, then your relationship to outsiders will be gracious. Gracious with outsiders. Amen? I feel like, Have I been a downer today?
No.
I hope not. So some people like to have a little bit of a pattern for prayer. I want to give you that today. It's in your bulletin on the back. It's called A Harvest of Prayer. 7 principles of prayer that kind of follow an order. And I'd just like to briefly go over these with you. A harvest of prayer means you're going to harvest a lot of prayer and praise, and you're also going to harvest a lot of answers to prayer. So do you see that on the back of your bulletin? Harvest of prayer. What does the H stand for? Help! Help! What's the first prayer you ever prayed, probably? It's probably, help! What is a man in a foxhole who's being bombed by mortar shells pray? Help, Lord. I pray help a lot. Help me with my... Well, you know what? It says that we don't even know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit helps us and assists us in prayer. So the first thing you should pray is, help me, Lord, even as I'm coming to pray, I don't know how to do it. I need your help in everything. You need God's help in everything? Are you dependent on him for everything? And you'll be praying help a lot. Help. And it says in Psalms 46:1 that he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen? Help. And by the way, you know one of the descriptions of the Lord that's used the most? It says God is our helper. God is our helper. He helps us in everything. So when you go to your prayer closet, that's old-fashioned language. We don't use it very much anymore. When you go to pray, you start out with, help me, Lord. Then you focus on God in adoration. The A is adoration. Tell the Lord you love him. Tell him that you need him. Worship him. Praise him. Praise him for who he is and what he's done. Make adoration a big part of your the first thing you do in prayer. There's more scriptures that you can look up. Then when you are in the presence of the Lord adoring him, often sins come to mind. The R in harvest is repentance or confession. When you see the Lord in his holiness, like Isaiah did, then you will say, woe is me. I'm undone. I've sinned. I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. So, Lord, I'm coming to you asking for your forgiveness, repentance, help, adoration, repentance. And then when you repent, God forgives you and you've got the victory, right? I repented of my sins and won the victory. The victory, the V is for victory. You have victory over the enemy. You have victory over the devil by your faith in Christ, right? Romans 8:31 says we are more than conquerors to him who loves us. In Ephesians, it says we should put on the armor of God. And so put on the armor of God, victory. Victory is yours in Christ. Amen? Amen. Then you need spiritual power to live the Christian life. So I've got for E, energy. The energy and the power that God gives to his people. Paul said, I'm going to boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. Why does God allow weakness? Why does he allow bad backs and parky and different things? So that we'll acknowledge our weakness and his strength will be made evident in us, right? If you're too proud and too trusting in yourself, God will knock you down and say, you need my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. You need the power of God to rest upon you. Amen? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Energy, spiritual energy is what you need. You notice it's almost at the very end of your prayer that we do supplication. That's when we make our request. after we've adored the Lord, after we've confessed, after we've defeated the enemy, after we've asked for his help, we make our supplications. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Supplication. I'm sure you've got a lot of requests. Requests for yourself, requests for others. This is where intercession comes in. Praying for others' needs. Praying for your family. Praying for the salvation of your loved ones. Lots of supplications. And then thanksgiving. We talked about this, we have prayer with thanksgiving. Amen? Supplication with thanksgiving. So this is just a brief outline of prayer. And if you have trouble praying, take this with you into your prayer closet and just walk through it. And you will find that the Lord of glory will meet you in a special way in your prayer closet. We need prayers in the church. We need witnesses. We need prayers. We need worshipers. We need prayer warriors, because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We need those who will commit themselves, be devoted to prayer and devoted to the living God. Amen? Okay, I'm going to try one more thing. Since we've got, what's this called, an acronym? Harvest. Another one, prayer. I don't have this in your bulletin. If you write prayer in your bulletin, P stands for personal, R, relationship. Personal relationship. The psalmist said, my soul yearns for you. My heart hungers for you. So prayer is personal relationship, always yearning. Always yearning for God and ever returning. P, personal. R, relationship. A, always. Y, yearning. Ever returning to the throne of grace. Amen? Your personal relationship of always yearning for God and ever returning to the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you invite us to return to the throne of grace again and again. Thank you, Lord, that we have access to you because of what Jesus did. And thank you that we can depend on you by being diligent and earnest and committed to prayer. Then, Lord, as we are filled with you, as we make our requests, as we step out of our prayer closet, we have the opportunity to walk wisely, walk in wisdom, and make the most of every opportunity to share Christ. So, Lord, I pray there would be a beautiful marriage between our worship, our prayer life, and our witness of you. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to the way you're going to answer our prayers and the way you're going to bring more new life into our church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing to our holy, holy God. He is holy, holy, holy. And he has the the perfect relationship in the Trinity, and he offers us to share in that relationship. Let's stand and sing.